You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So I just learned a very fun fact that the actress that I've been calling Noomi Rapace since the last decade, essentially, is actually Noomi Rapace, which I think is a very, very, very cool name. And I have my colleague and buddy Robert here, Bob. Thank you so much for pointing that out to me.
Of course.
Yeah. And the reason he pointed out is because we are talking about Noomi Rapace's new film, The Secrets We Keep, which just is, you know, brand spanking new, and it stars her, Joel Kinnaman, and Chris Messina in a 1950s tale of post-World War II America, where Noomi plays, Maja, happy suburban wife living a happily suburban existence with her young son and prosperous doctor husband. Maja's immigrant from Romania, and one day she discovers walking down the street a man who she is convinced is the same man who tortured and raped her and her sister and some other loved ones during World War II, and she takes it upon herself to approach this man, whose name is Thomas, played by Joel Kinnaman, and kidnap him and hold him hostage in her basement and just do a few torturous things to him. And for good measure, because no marriage should ever have secrets, she pulls in her husband, Louis, played by Chris Messina, to help her deal with the situation. And things naturally escalate from there, and, you know, as they naturally would. Anyway, my name is Frank. And with me on this review, I've got Jordan.
Hello.
And Bob.
Nice to be with y'all.
And guys, I did not know that this was actually, because I'm a casual fan of Roman Polanski. I'm not the biggest fan of Roman Polanski, but I did not know that this was a remake of a Polanski film called Death and the Maiden.
Actual news to me.
Is it? Okay, because I just literally found this out two seconds before we started this review.
I like Roman Polanski just fine, as much as you can, even though he's...
As much as you can, yeah.
because he's the artist. Despicable human being. Fuck him into the nth degree, but...
the films, anyways. We like the films.
Yeah, I mean...
Some of them.
It is still hard to top, like, what's a perfect screenplay... Chinatown.
Chinatown comes along once in a lifetime. But I remember this film, the film that this one's based on, Death and the Maiden, was, I remember this came out in the '90s, and people were very nonplussed by it. And I can sort of see that, because this film, The Secrets We Keep, has a very sort of closed off feeling to it, and it's very claustrophobic in a lot of ways. And even though it's action-packed and tension-filled, there's twists and turns. The police, show up at the house where the prisoner is, being held hostage. And the couple starts becoming friends with his wife, played by Amy Simetz. It's all this tension going on. And I don't know why. I just... did not feel that sort of like intense connection to any of the events happening in this film. I don't know. How did you guys feel about it?
I feel the opposite of you, because I rather did enjoy this film. I thought the connection was very interesting. And in all honesty, Noomi Rapace is very captivating. Like, this is a very actor-driven, heavy film. Like, acting! Yeah. You know, with 5 C's. You know, and such.
And she's got the face for it. She's got, her face.
No,
and her
she
eyes,
does. She absolutely does. Yeah. She really emotes the absolute shit out of everything in this film. But I really feel like this is honestly a really entertaining film for me, in all honesty. And that is based on the captivation of the acting. Because, in all honesty, Joel Kinnaman is usually a pretty fucking boring actor. The only other sort of role I enjoyed him in was on House of Cards, because it kind of gave him some light, like something to work with. Because it sure as hell wasn't Suicide Squad with equally as bland Scott Eastwood.
So it's not like, I feel like he's one of those that actors that coasts a lot on his looks, but, yeah. I think that's one thing that I think you're right about this short. And I think this film does give these actors something to do, because Chris Messina is likewise really good in this as well. I just felt that there was nothing beyond just performances here in terms of plot and twists and whatnot, and the suspense that was obviously meant to be suspenseful, but I don't know. I felt sort of just a disconnect from it. What do you think, Bob?
I really liked a lot about this movie. I guess I'm kind of in the middle between you and Jordan. Frank, I really like that it starts extremely quickly. And then by less than 20 minutes in, it is full blown. Everything you read about this movie, what it's about, is going on.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it.
I really like that once we get this turn where we talked about Rapace's character believes that there's this guy that's connected to her really violent past near the end of World War II, that we start to get these jarring edits. It's interesting you say that it was a remake. I think the initial chunk of the story is obviously good enough to be something that somebody would remake. And it kind of switches gears right after that into more of a slower kind of suburban bottle episode, espionage thriller. We start to get some woodwinds and piano with her, the main character sleuthing around.
Yeah.
There's some really good stuff in the initial part of the movie depicting the restraint of violence, which I think a lot of these films, when you know a film's going to involve violence, usually the restraint is that's how we resolve the movie, that someone does or doesn't decide, something like that. But that's all laid out really early. So I think that makes her character a little more dimensional. I just think once the tension got set up by the middle of the film, I needed a little more, like I think you were saying, that I think there could have been a little more to support how powerful the ending could have been.
Yeah. Because without going into spoilers, it is a very powerful ending. I think what makes the ending as powerful as it is first of all, really great acting by Messina. Probably that's his best moment in the film, is that bit at the end. But I think also that the one thing tension wise that really did stick out for me was the fact that it was always up in the air whether or not Thomas was her actual captor and tormentor back during the war. There's always that lingering question just a bit.
The mystery actually plays out very well, because they actually do introduce factors, elements that say, oh, well, maybe it's not really him. And it actually lines up with what he's saying to, Noomi Rapace's character. They actually really make a good deal of that. They actually play it out so nicely that even you, the viewer, are doubting it. Because even I was doubting it just a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's something people will like about the film. If they see what kind of film this is, it might be easy to say, oh, it's somebody catching somebody. And we know how that plays out. But the reality of the situation is, it's, you know, as much as you love and trust and, you know, this movie brings up that there are things our characters haven't shared with each other. So trust is the drama in the film. And that leaks enough [S2] Absolutely. [S1] To our four main characters. I really like Amy Simon's character who plays Joel Kinnaman's wife
she
in the play, film.
She makes some interesting choices because you know, first of all, her character's in a very, very precarious state because, very particular state because, you know, she's lost her husband who's vanished without a trace. And she's wanting to trust this woman, you know, Maja, who befriends her and, you know, but she's also suspicious, just naturally suspicious of what might have happened. And I think that Amy Simon makes some really interesting choices with the way she plays it.
We get that scene in the middle where Rapace's character and Amy Simon's character are pretty much sitting down for the very first time, and it really played like the tension in a horror movie to me, and not in some kind cheeky way, but if you can identify with one character, not trust in the other, then you automatically have to see that the other one's in the same position. And then who can you trust?
Exactly. But there's also, it also makes the, in a way it makes the, it makes Maja look a little, I mean, for lack of a better term, sadistic. The fact that she's, keeping tabs continuously as often as she is on this man's wife. Obviously she wants to make sure that, She's not found out. That secret's not found out. But there is something a little perverse about this friendship or the pseudo friendship that she's developing with this woman.
Yeah.
That was an interesting layer, which I didn't expect and I did not see coming, to be honest with you.
I mean, it really does add to the further tension of when you know she has her husband tied up. In her basement. And yeah, I really do. I want to further add praise to Chris Messina here because in a really greatly acted movie, he's kind of my standout because he has this conflict because he wants to believe his wife because there's been this past with her in where she's, you know, had obviously PTSD in terms of what happened to her, but he didn't know the extent. And when he does learn the extent, he wants to help her, but he also sees this innocent enough man that's like, no, this isn't right. We gotta help. Mm-hmm. And it just
his conflict is through the roof, and he's had his whole world pulled out from under him.
That's what I was going to say, on top of what Jordan's saying, and then there's him dealing with all these realities.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And because it's fluid.
He's a doctor, and
do no harm.
He's helping a lot of people in the local refinery, which is where Joel Kinnaman is employed as well. So it's like...
It's such a small... This whole world of small-town Americana of the 50s is...
Oh, absolutely!
I mean, it's so alive and well in this film. It's you know, it's a great backdrop for it, I think, actually. But I don't know. I think there's something about the construction of this film. I just realized before I started this review, I found out that the writer director, the co-writer director, Yuval. I completely butchered that. Yuval Adler. Was doing constant rewrites during pre-production and well into production on this film. Yeah, so there's something clearly that they felt they didn't have right going into it. And I think I can sort of see why they would think that because there is such a tonal shift, I think, between the first and second act and just in terms of the way it's paced. The energy of it is different. It does feel sort of like disjointed a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that was just me. Did you guys get that sort of feeling that it took on a different flow midway through?
For me, I think somewhere between the everybody's on the same page moment in the middle of the film through the end, it feels like either some things were left out. I enjoyed the ending. I think it's poignant. It's saying something that we don't see in a lot of films that deal with this kind of not only violence, but relationships and things like that. And, you know, we're in this together, so there's always going to be more than one point of view. Absolutely. So
yeah,
I think I would have loved this film if we have gotten some chunkier interplay drama in the last third. But at 90 minutes, it ticked lots of boxes that you need to tick for something like this. I just think I could have got a little more so that the ending didn't just it's not overwhelming the rest of the story. But
I mean, Adler is an economical director. There's nothing here that
for sure
didn't need to be in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. There's no throwaway scene really that I can recall. But it does feel like, you know, that they've got the opposite problem where there's just a little bit lacking for me, and it's something in the days after watching this, I have to keep on asking myself, like, what is it that I was wanting that I didn't get from that film? Because it has everything that I know I'm looking for as a viewer. It has a really it's grounded in a very real past in terms of its background. It's got suspense. It's got tension. It's got one of the best actresses working today. And you know, I know I've said before that I love anybody who can, you know, go from a franchise like the Dragon Tattoo series to, and she's done this stuff in between, but you know, Sherlock Holmes and Brian De Palma's Passion, which is a really underrated thriller from a few years ago. You know, something's just not clicking with me for this film. But I think this is a film that's going to like rub everybody differently. I think ultimately that's what's going to do. But anyway, let's go ahead and run into final thoughts. Bob, why don't you get started?
There's a lot of things I liked about this film. One I didn't mention, John Pisano's music. He worked on this last season, Penny Dreadful City of Angels. He just scored the Tesla film. I liked his stuff. Like I said, when we're changing tones kind of at the beginning from, oh, what's going on, to, oh, we're in it, I think there's some really neat stuff done there. We got lots of great one-on-one stuff that I really liked on this film between Kinnaman and Rapace and Messina and Kinnaman and, you know, back and forth through everybody. I will say the story had enough surprises for me. Like, as much as I like the end and say that, you know, I've got my head all the way around it, no way I saw that happening. So I thought that was another plus. I just think that for the runtime, I think the end was a little more sophisticated than it had been supported for the rest of the film. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 cries for help.
Cool. Jordan?
I think this was a really well-acted film across the board, really. Because, again, I said that Joel Kinnaman is usually just so damn bland. And I hope that changes with the upcoming Suicide Squad sequel of what James Gunn is doing. But
we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. But here, he really is delivering. And yeah, Noomi Rapace is incredible as usual. But I really do think the standout to me is Chris Messina, because I had just recently rewatched Birds of Prey during one of my writing kicks.
Which I love, Birds of Prey.
Yeah, and I do too. And so it was like, oh shit. It is incredible how much range he has, because I also really do like the Mindy Project, which he was a regular on. And yeah, I like tense bottle thrillers that are just so slow paced and methodical.
And they're simmering a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I also love espionage, so this really ticked a lot of my boxes. I do wish that it was a bit tighter in a lot of ways, because yes, it does drag a bit, even with its 90-minute pacing. Like, I think some of the stuff with Kinnaman's wife does drag a bit, but overall, I don't think it affects the film too much. So I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 wobbly chair legs.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this film had so much of what I, like you said, Jordan, so much of what I just naturally gravitate towards as a viewer, as an audience member. You know, it's acted within an inch of its life by a trio of really great leads, and Amy Simons as well. I think she's fantastic. And, you know, everyone here is just fantastically cast and really sells their characters. And because each character is facing a life and death situation of a different sort. And I do love the lingering question that does save this film and makes it worth your time all the way to the end of whether or not he is actually the man who tortured her. And when you do get that answer, it is such a powerful scene. It's such a...
The payoff is actually worth it.
The payoff is there. The payoff factor is there, and thank God it is. Otherwise, I'd be a lot more angry than I am right now. but I'm not that angry. But I do think that this film suffers from tonal problems, somewhat of a pacing problem. It doesn't know where to go at a certain point, and it doesn't really even know the tools it's got in terms of generating tension, suspense after a while. And I think it's kind of lost and kind of clueless. It becomes so at that point. And it's a shame because it's got everything it needs. But I think maybe it's also the time of year this is coming out. If this was April, I might be a little bit kinder to it. But we are already into award season. Festivals are happening all over the place. Everyone's already pegging their top films, and if you're releasing a film at this time of year, it really needs to be a cut above. It can be good, but it needs to be, you know, good in all caps. And this is just
pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's okay. I'm gonna give this 7 out of 10 Fourth of July picnics that you go to after having a guy held up in your basement that you've been holding prisoner because you kind of get tired and need some air.
After horrific situations. I mean, to be fair, grilled hot dogs are totally worth it. That is the best way to eat a dog.
You want to socialize after a horrific situation.
Absolutely. And hey,
you can't be in the basement all summer.
I'm one of the few nerds that's a sports fan. So hell yeah, baseball. Absolutely.
Americana.
Yeah.